Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Product Marketing Insider podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Chapman, and I'm the Senior Copywriter here at Product Marketing Alliance. During the next few episodes, I'm going to be turning back the clock to the Product Marketing Summit in San Francisco, where I was lucky enough to welcome a bunch of guests to the live podcast stage for in-depth, insightful discussions on a variety of topics. And in this episode, I'll bring you my chat with Sudhir Ranganathan, Director of Product Marketing at LinkedIn. Sudha has 15 plus years of experience in marketing organizations, starting out as a market researcher before transitioning into a marketing role. Her experience spans multiple industries, having worked at companies such as P&G, Nielsen, and PayPal. We had a chat about the role of leadership in product marketing, important leadership traits, and a whole lot more. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm delighted to be joined by Sudhir Ranganathan. So Sudhir is the Director of Product Marketing at LinkedIn. So first and foremost, Sudhir, can you just let us know a little bit what you do at the company?
Yeah, so I work at LinkedIn, as you said. I work in our talent solutions business, which is one of four big businesses we have at LinkedIn. And what's special about the talent solutions business is it's the one that helps our customers hire really great talent and then develop that talent to their highest potential. So what I do specifically is I work on all of our global vertical businesses and I help our customers in specific verticals achieve their talent objectives.
Oh, fantastic. So as part of this podcast discussion, we're going to be talking about product marketing leadership. So you've got a strong background as a product marketing leader. So in your opinion, what does an effective product marketer actually look like?
Ooh, it's a really good question. I get asked that a lot, especially by newcomers that are trying to get into product marketing. So here's the typical skill set for a great product marketer. There's a bunch of inbound skill sets, as we call them, and there's a bunch of outbound skill sets, as we call them. I'll split the inbound skill sets into maybe two or three categories. The first one is understanding what's going on in the market with your competition and with your customer and being able to distill that into, so what does this mean for what we need to do with our products to deliver to their needs?
Yeah, sure.
So that's how the big first skill set is, the ability to listen to disparate inputs and distill them into simple insights that can then influence product direction. The second one then gets to influencing product direction. It's the ability to work really effectively with your product partners. They're the ones that are actually building out the roadmap and those products. And it's the ability to effectively communicate, influence, prioritize what product features should be built for the roadmap. I'd say those are the biggest inbound skill sets. And on outbound skill sets, I think the first one is the ability to do clear positioning and messaging that's really anchored in what the customer needs and how you're solving those needs. And I would say the second big outbound skill set is just the ability to take your messages both to the sales team and to the customer directly through the appropriate channels. So it requires some discernment on what are my objectives marketing-wise and then what are the best channels to achieve those objectives. So I'd say two big inbound skill sets, synthesis of insights and influencing product partners, and then two big outbound skill sets, clear positioning and messaging, and then being able to understand how channels lead up to marketing strategy.
Okay, fantastic. And in terms of product marketing in general, it's not always plain sailing. As we all know, there's always challenges that come up along the way. So as a product marketing leader, how have you navigated any sort of obstacles that you've encountered during your career, like whilst leading a team, during times of adversity?
Yeah. So I'd say there are a couple of categories of challenges, and then we can talk about how we've addressed each of those. There's, you know, as far as business challenges go, one of the biggest challenges you're going to come across all the time is you've launched something, it's not going as well as you planned, and you need to figure out how to make it work. And so when we come across those sorts of challenges, it really helps to take what we call a hypothesis-driven lens. What are the potential hypotheses on why this is not working? Does it have to do with the product? Does it have to do with customer appetite? Or does it have to do with our go-to-market motion and the way we launched it? And being able to identify the root cause and then fix that. So there's, in a lot of my work, when we're faced with a business problem, the key to being able to solve it is to take a very hypothesis-driven lens and then being able to drill down to the right root cause so you can fix the right problem instead of fixing the wrong problem. So I'd say that's one category. You launch something, doesn't go well, you take a hypothesis-driven approach to get to the root cause. I'd say another category of challenges is you're trying really hard to influence your product partners to build out something, or you're influencing your pricing partners to package up and create a certain commercial offer that's more appetizing to your customers. And, you know, always the challenge here has to do with their priorities are a little different than your priorities. And the way to address that is just being able to sit down and have that honest conversation, being able to truly listen with curiosity to where they're coming from. Eventually, you're all trying to solve for the customer. And so the way to solve those problems has always been listen carefully and figure out if your recommendation is truly the one that's going to optimize for the customer, or do you need to pause and let them do what they're doing because that's the right thing for the customer. So it's just a lot of like curiosity, listening, being able to navigate transparently and communicate effectively with each other. And then the final category of challenges is just team and talent. You know, when, what do you do when you have someone that's an outstanding performer that is hungry for more? How do you manage them and get them a great next play? What do you do when someone's not performing or is not demonstrating the skill sets that are needed to succeed? How do you have really clear, transparent conversations about critical feedback? So I'd say those are the big categories. You'll hear a lot of the underlying ways we tackle that is hypothesis-driven problem solving and then effective communication and good listening.
Okay, fantastic. And obviously a big part as well of being a product marketing leader is actually building a product marketing team. So what would you say is almost like the key trait or the key skill that a product marketer needs to take into consideration to build a team that's high-performing and cohesive?
I mean, what I'm going to say doesn't just apply to product marketing. I think it applies to any function that you're trying to build up a team around. I'm referencing a really great book called Culture Code. I forget the author's name. Anyway, in Culture Code, he talks about three core principles to build fantastic high-performing teams. And high-performing teams are not the same as a group of high-performing individuals. And so what it takes to build a high-performing team, I've always found this to be true. Number one, psychological safety. People feel like the environment they're in is safe enough that they can make mistakes and learn from those mistakes instead of being penalized or shamed for them. So that's number one. Number two, vulnerability. Everybody from the leader role modeling it all the way to the ICs on the team are able to speak honestly to when they've made mistakes, and they're able to be really open about when they don't know something. Because the biggest challenge I face is when our ego gets in the way of saying, I don't know how to do this and I need somebody to teach me. And so vulnerability is the second one. And then the third one is a sense of purpose. When everybody understands the why behind what we're doing as a team, the what flows very easily from that, and then the how flows very easily from that. But being able to reinforce to the team what's our unique purpose and contribution to the larger business objective, and being able to reinforce that on a constant basis. I found that those three principles, if I can follow them consistently, are the key to building a great team. And I remember the name of the author, it's Daniel Coyle.
Oh, fantastic. And in the State of Product Marketing Leadership Report that we published earlier this year, we had 80.6% of respondents who said that they would obviously like categorize their leadership style as like a coach style. Mm. What I wanted to know really is, how would you classify your leadership style? And has this changed as your career has progressed?
It's such a great question. I'd say my leadership style really depends almost entirely on who I'm leading in that moment. And so the youngest person on my team, the youngest in tenure on my team, not in age, could get a very different style of leadership from me. There's going to be more involvement, more hands-on coaching. And I'm going to answer things more directly rather than posing questions to the person because they know so little. But for a more seasoned employee on my team, the leadership style they're going to get from me is going to be much more coach-like, i.e. I'll ask you good questions. I'll distill and play back what you're telling me so we can get to the core of the real issue. And I'll empower you to go like bust the barriers you need to so you can learn and grow on your own. So I think it really varies on tenure and what that person needs from me. But it's that's the spectrum, I think.
Yeah, it's such an important part of leadership, isn't it? Just giving your team the ability like to almost like roll with it, really, and just making sure that you loosen the reins a little bit and unlocking the creative, that creativity. But and then just going back to what you were saying before, like a team isn't necessarily like built of individuals. It's all like, you know, it's a cohesive team. How can you go about building a team that is compatible? Do you know what I mean? Like, so how would you suggest product marketers go about building a team that, you know, complements each other well? The people within that team complements each other well.
It's such an important question, and there's nothing I can say here that's going to encapsulate the essence of the answer well. The thing that gets in the way of a team being compatible is not necessarily personality types. A lot of it has to do with attitude and mindset, mm-hmm. which are choices that people make for themselves. So the great thing to know this is that people are not innately good or bad at being part of the team. They can be skilled to be a great team player. But the skill I think that's of utmost importance is the ability to check your ego at the door And to come in there and to have an open mind, to have humility and to have curiosity. When I notice that people are willing to show those attributes, especially when I'm interviewing folks, if I find that they're curious, if I find that they're humble, in that they don't always think they know everything, and if I can see that they're good listeners, already that tells me they're going to work really well in a team context, because that's what you need. I'd say this, the second like big umbrella category I look for is, are they willing to put the team above themselves in certain instances? And I don't mean they need to be a victim or a martyr. I just mean there are going to be times when someone needs to step up and do things that are not the shiny object projects on the team, but they still need to get done because the business needs to move forward. And I really adore hearing from people when they've stepped in to do those things that didn't feel sexy, but helped the team at large. So I'd say those are the two things. Like, do they show up with humility, curiosity? And do they show a tendency to put the team above self every once in a while? If they show those characteristics, they're going to work really well as part of a team.
Okay, fantastic. And again, in quite a few of our reports, really. Most namely the State of Product Marketing report, which again has just been released. Encouragingly, a lot of the product marketers who we spoke with have harbored an interest in taking the next step into product marketing leadership. And what would be your almost like your golden tip or piece of advice for people who want to make that transition into a leadership role?
That's so hard.
I'm sorry. I do apologize.
Maybe I can do two instead of one.
Absolutely.
I'd say one is like a business-oriented tip and the other is a team and talent-oriented tip. The team and talent-oriented tip is your job is to lead with psychological safety, vulnerability, and a sense of purpose, the things I already spoke about before. Because if you don't build up a great team, they can't deliver to what you need them to do. So that's the team tip. Just reiterating something I said earlier. The business tip. I'm grappling with two. I'm just going to articulate one. I think most product marketers work in mid to large size organizations, even in small organizations, where they're often working on a slice of the problem, what I would call the subsystem. That is just one slice of an overall system. So I feel like to be an effective leader, you need to be able to develop this ability to put the system over the subsystem at all times, or at least to trade off what it takes to optimize for your subsystem versus what it takes to optimize for the system. And again, with humility, to make the call sometimes that your subsystem may need to take a backseat for the system to succeed. I find that that tends to differentiate great product marketing leaders from good product marketing leaders.
Okay. And in terms of like just switching the focus to yourself, what would you say has been your biggest product marketing success story so far?
Oof.
Sorry, that's a massive question. I do apologize.
Oh my God. I was brought in to lead a very newly formed team. We never had a vertical-oriented team before this in our business. I'd say my biggest success has been creating a team of people that none of who had backgrounds in verticals marketing and being able to bring them all up to a point where they're all excellent vertical marketers now. And they're really one of a kind in that almost nobody else in the business can do exactly what they do. And so they have a unique set of skill sets versus their partners. They also have more full stack marketing skills because we serve verticals compared to a lot of marketing counterparts who deal with small pieces of the marketing pie. I'd say bringing my team to that skill level is probably my biggest success story.
Okay, fantastic. And in terms of product marketing leadership, looking and obviously trying to forecast what that may look like in 2023, I know we're it will be there upon us like quite soon. How do you see leadership evolving in the world of product marketing?
Yeah, again, there's a business aspect and a team and talent aspect to it. And I honestly don't think any of the fundamentals are going to be different in 2023. So I'm still hoping that people who have the knack for hypothesis-based problem solving, to be able to put the system above the subsystem, to be able to connect dots across multiple subsystems, those are going to be the keys to succeeding even in the future, especially as we go into a really tough macroeconomic environment. And then on the team front, I think the ability to have, like, to balance compassion and courage when you're managing a team, the compassion to have empathy for your people and do the right thing by them, the courage to call out when they're not doing something that is expected of them so they can improve and perform at their highest potential. I think that's going to be key. But these things have always been key. So I'm not telling you anything groundbreaking. I just think these things are going to become so much more important as we enter the future, because we're going to have to do so much more with so many fewer resources at our hands.
Okay. And last but by no means least, obviously, you are here. You're going to be on a fireside chat. So can you give us a little bit more information, just a little bit of a sneak peek into what you're going to be focusing on?
Yeah. So my wonderful colleague from LinkedIn, Daniela, is going to be my host today. And we're going to be talking about customer-obsessed marketing. When I say that, it's a really vague, almost esoteric, cliched term. And so what we thought we'd do is just, like, break it down, talk about what does it mean to be customer obsessed in both your product and marketing? What is it? Why is it important? And then how exactly do you go about being customer obsessed or architecting that into both your product development and your marketing motions?
Okay, brilliant. And what time are you going to be talking
about? About 3:45 in the afternoon today.
Okay, fantastic. Right, so that's 3:45 this afternoon, so don't miss it. So Suda is going to be discussing with a fireside chat. So thank you so much, Suda, for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Lawrence, for
thank
having
you so
me.
Much. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Product Marketing Insider, and thanks so much for tuning in. In the meantime, keep your eyes peeled for upcoming episodes, and be sure to check out our previous shows in which we speak with product marketers from the likes of Salesforce, Google, LinkedIn, Crayon, Adobe, and so much more. Plus, we've got a collection of other podcasts waiting for you, hosted by industry experts, with each series focusing on core areas of product marketing, such as sales enablement, go-to-market, win-loss strategies, competitive intelligence, and storytelling, to name just a few. Check out the collection in full at www.productmarketingalliance.com/podcasts.